1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Good morning. So go ahead and start turning in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. That's where we'll be, and I'm going to talk while you're turning. So first of all, I want to say thank you for supporting me while I was going through Southeast. It was a fun and interesting 2 years, and I wouldn't have been able to go had it not been for you guys and all the other churches that supported me. So thank you for that. And also thank you for letting me come and speak again, because after the first time, I wouldn't have figured you'd have invited me back because I didn't think it was that good. Also, a 13-minute lesson at the evening service, I don't know if you were expecting that, but you can thank Nick for that one. So we're in Mark chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 26 through 29. So before we get into it, there seems to be an expectation whenever someone decides to obey the gospel and follow Christ that we expect them to have the same knowledge level as us too often. We expect them to know how we do everything, and we expect them to know what they need to be doing, and we set high expectations whenever we first bring someone into the fold. But I don't think that's necessarily fair to the person, and I don't think it's fair to us to expect that of someone, especially if they had not known the gospel growing up, if they had not been taught all the things that the Bible teaches when they were growing up. It's not fair for us to put that expectation on them, and it's not fair for us to expect that of them, because ultimately they're not going to live up to that expectation. But in this lesson, we're going to look at how Jesus expects Christians to grow in their faith and to be patient. To be patient waiting for people to learn more, to grow in their own faith. So, let's start off by reading what the Bible says, starting in verse 26. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts up and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." So, let's make some observations in this. Let's go through and look at some of the things that Jesus says in this, because it's kind of a deeper thing than just talking about a man planting seeds. So, the first thing we can see, though, is the kingdom of God is like a man should scatter seed around. There's this expectation. My version says as if, other versions will say like, but there's an expectation that a man will be scattering seeds. So we understand that metaphor as is typical with a lot of other metaphors that Jesus uses, as the word of God being planted in people. There's an expectation that that will happen. And it's not like a maybe a man or possibly you'll go and plant seeds. It's an expectation that you will go and you will plant seeds. In fact, in Matthew 29 and 30, Jesus says, "Go into all the world." He doesn't say, "Why don't you guys try and make as many disciples?" He says, "Go." It's not something simple. It's not something that maybe you can, maybe you can't. It's like your parents telling you to clean your room. It's a you have to do it. It's not an option. We are expected to plant seeds, because how else will the kingdom grow? If we aren't planting seeds, how else will other people come to know Jesus? Because no one just happens to one day decide, you know what, I'm going to read this Bible. I'm going to learn everything the Bible has to say. That's not how it happens. Yeah, there's this rare case that there might be someone that just decides, you know what, I'll give this Bible thing a try. But typically it's because they saw someone living out a life that they liked to imitate. They saw someone or heard someone who was doing good things because of the Bible. So there's an expectation that we will plant seeds. Because if we aren't planting seeds, are we obeying all the commands? Like, love your neighbor as yourself. If you were lost, if you were the one who didn't know anything about the Bible, would you want your neighbor to come and tell you about it? Would you want your neighbor to knock on your door and say, hey, I love you and I care about you and I want you to know this is what the Bible says. This is how you have to be saved. Because had it not been for someone telling someone at one point, you would not be here this morning. Maybe they didn't talk to you directly. Maybe they talked to your parents or your grandparents or your great-grandparents. But someone at some point talked to someone, which led to you being baptized, which led to you coming here this morning. Had it not been for someone planting a seed, we would not be here. Had it not been for the apostles planting seeds all over the Middle East and all into Europe and Asia, we would not have the church growing in the first century. So there's this expectation that we have to plant. But as we keep going, what's the first thing he does after he plants? Verse 27 starts off, he sleeps and rises night and day. He doesn't plant a seed and expect the next day to harvest it. He doesn't plant a seed and just look at it and wait for it to say, all right, I'm going to grow. He plants a seed and he lets it grow. He gives it time. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter how many seeds we plant. It's that we also expect them to grow. Paul expected the seeds that he planted in Corinth to grow. In fact, he saw that they did grow. That's what we just heard from 1 Corinthians 3. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God gave the increase. It wasn't anything that Paul said. It wasn't anything that Apollos said. It's the words of God acting on the individual that led to them growing in faith. And that's how it works today. We might, as a preacher, I've come to like my own words sometime, but my words don't mean anything. My words are ultimately worth the paper that they're written on, which has gone up in price recently, but that's a different story altogether. But the words that I use don't matter. The words that you use don't matter. They don't make people change. It's the words of God that make people change their minds, that make people change their lives. The words of God will bring a murderer to be one of the best known apostles. The words of God will make 12 men abandon their jobs and start following this guy around for 3 years. If it wasn't for the words of God, we would not be here. Because in the beginning, God spoke and it happened. The words of God have more power than any word that man can come up with. But we have to let those sink in. We have to let those stick with the people. Because when we plant a seed, that seed is the word of God. We understand that. But we have to let that seed grow. Because what would happen if that man went and harvested the very next day? Or let's say he waited a week and decided, you know what, I'm going to harvest today. A week isn't enough time typically for wheat to grow, unless you have some first century magical miracle grow that makes it work even faster. A week isn't enough time for a plant to grow to full maturity. But when he waits that time, when he lets the plant grow, and then he harvests it, that's when it does the best. That's when it is able to take, you're able to take the seeds that that produces and go and plant even more. Because in this parable, I would argue that the man scattering seed is ultimately Jesus, and by way of him being God, God, because he's putting his words in the ground, which is man. But does every seed produce the same? Well, no, we know that. We can see that pretty easily, but we need to remember that we need to give it time to grow. We have to be patient whenever we plant the seed. Because if we're not patient when we plant the seed, we try to rush people to make a decision. Yeah, we know that Judgment Day is coming anytime soon, and we know that at that point there will be no second decisions made. But we have to let them make the decision. We can't make a decision for them. We can't tell someone, well, Acts 2:38 says that you have to believe and be baptized, so you need to go and get in that baptistry right now. Because let's try to remember what happened with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. What happened with them? Philip and the eunuch studied for probably a long time because there's nothing else to do in the desert, first of all. But second of all, the Ethiopian eunuch is the one who said, "Here's water, what hinders me from being baptized?" The Ethiopian eunuch is the one who acted, not Philip. Philip didn't say, "Come now as together we stand and sing in front of the eunuch," and expect the eunuch to answer. But what happened is, the eunuch realized what he needed to do. He knew what he needed to do, and he acted on it. You see, there are countless stories that people can tell of how they studied with someone, how they went through every step of salvation with someone, how the person clearly knows what they need to do to be saved, but they don't do it. They decide, well, I mean, I guess I'm not ready to do that yet. Or, you know what, I'd rather wait a while and then do it. Or, give me some time to think about it. We don't like giving them that time to think about it. But do we know everything that's going on in their head? Do we know what all is happening whenever they're churning over the things that we just told them? Things that might be the opposite of what they've been told their whole life. No, we don't know what they're going through in their mind. They might be going through something like, well, this person then had to lie to me because they said that this wasn't required. Or they might say that this thing is something that goes against everything that my parents taught me growing up. We don't know what all is going through their mind, but we have to give them time to process that stuff. Because if we rush them, what happens? If you rush harvesting anything, what happens? You basically harvest nothing. If you harvest, it's talking about wheat here. If you harvest wheat when it first comes up out of the ground, when it's looking like a blade of grass, what do you get out of it? Maybe you can make a salad with all the wheat that you got, but that's not going to last you as long as that, as if you waited. And so we have to understand that we have to be patient. We have to let people grow. Which, if we don't let people grow, we're not letting the church grow. Because if we keep reading, the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. We don't know how the seed sprouts and grows. But then the earth produces by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. It eventually will come up to be a fully sprouted plant. But we have to wait for that. We live in an age where waiting isn't a popular thing to do. We don't like to wait. We like to have TV on demand. We like to have Netflix where we can just watch a whole season at once. We like to have microwaves where we can make our dinner in a matter of 30 seconds or less. But that's not how people typically operate in real life. We don't get assigned something and expect to have it that moment. If, let's think back to when you were in school. If a teacher assigned a writing project, let's say that you're supposed to write a 5-page essay on something, do you think that you'd be able to have that done in an hour after it was assigned? Well, no. If you could write 5 pages without having to do any research, then you probably already knew whatever it was talking about anyway, but 5 pages isn't a lot, but it's enough that you have to know what you're talking about to make it work. If you're given an assignment, you typically get time to do the assignment. And just like we're assigned how to live, how to follow God's word, we're given time to act on that. We're given time to study what God wants us to do. We're given time to process the thing that God tells us to do. We aren't rushed into it, because if we're rushed into it, we won't understand why we're doing what we're doing. But we have to be patient for that to happen. But just like plants need time to grow, so do Christians. Once someone's seed has taken root and it starts to bud, we understand that it's getting to a point where, all right, they believe, they're obeying, they're doing the things they need to do, but do we need to just throw them in and say, all right, you were baptized this week, you're going to be preaching in 2 weeks, so go ahead and get a lesson ready? Well, I mean, how many people do you think would actually be able to do that? How many people do you think would be willing to do that? Well, not many would be able to or willing to. But as we give them time to grow, as we give them time to mature and get to a point where they're fully ripened, what happens as soon as the farmer notices that it's ripened in this parable? Verse 29, but when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. As soon as he notices that the grain is ready to harvest, he goes and harvests it. As soon as he sees that all the grain is ready to be harvested, we need to harvest it now. So, when it produces seed, we also hope that it'll grow more grain. Because once it starts to grow more grain, that means that we can start to spread more seed. That's the whole point of producing more Christians, is for Christians to produce more Christians, and for those Christians to produce even more Christians. Because that plays all the way back to the beginning of the expectation of scattering seed. As we produce more seed gets scattered. As we build more and more, the kingdom grows even more. But what happens if the farmer decides, you know what, I'm just going to let the grain go. I'm going to let it go a little bit longer. And then the next week comes and he says, you know what, I'll just give it another week. I'm kind of busy this week. We're not going to do anything with that yet. And he just keeps letting it go. And he lets it go. And he lets it go. And he lets it go even further. Eventually, what happens to that crop? It dies. It's overripe. It's not useful anymore. Why? Because it wasn't used. It wasn't harvested. It wasn't brought into the kingdom. It's become the equivalent of fertilizer for the next thing you plant. Why? Because it wasn't harvested. That comes in us needing to have patience in knowing We need to know when things are ready to happen. And that this is the part that we don't have the easy answer for. We don't get a nice, nifty checklist to be like, all right, do they understand what they're doing? Yeah. Do they know all the scriptures that they need to know to be able to do these things? Yeah. We don't get a nifty checklist like that. It comes with learning. Knowing about when we were ready to be harvested. Knowing about when we were ready to be used in church. Knowing about when we were ready to do even more. But if we don't use the things that we learned, we're just sitting there with useless knowledge. If you don't use the things that you learn, you just know things. You aren't smart. You aren't capable of doing more. You just know stuff. Until we use our knowledge, we don't show that we have it. Until we start to act on the things that we know, we don't show that we actually know anything. But once we understand that a person is ready, once we understand that a person is ready to be brought into the kingdom, once we understand that a person is ready to be used in the kingdom, once we understand how to use that person to the best of their abilities, that's when the kingdom can grow even better. That's when the kingdom can grow even further and in even more ways than we thought it could. So let's look at a real world example of that. So there was a man who wanted to be more useful in church. He wanted to do more things, but he had a bit of a speech impediment and he didn't have the brain capacity to be able to just go out and do a lot of the Bible study things that on his own. So this man decided to instead start working with World Bible School because they have written material that he understands, he can grade it, he can work with it. And he knew a bunch of people that he could send it to. So this man, even though he didn't have some of the tools that other people had, he didn't have speaking ability, he didn't have an ability to lead singing, he didn't have an ability to just walk into someone's home and do a Bible study with them just on his own. But what he could do is send these people these Bible studies. He could send people this information that they needed to know in a way that they could understand it, and he would be diligent with these people. And when someone wouldn't send stuff back, he would write them a letter and be like, hey, have you finished that Bible study? Do I need to send you another one? Is everything going all right? See, we don't have to have all the abilities of, say, a Paul or a Peter. But we can be just as useful to the kingdom as Paul or Peter were by being willing to use our talents to the best of our abilities. So we need to know that we need to be patient with people. We need to be patient with studying with people. We need to be patient with people's reactions. But we also need to know how to use our own talents, how to be the best use of the kingdom that we can be. But we also know that there's no easy way to tell when things are ready, when things happen, because it's looking at people isn't like looking at grain where you can see, oh, it's white, it's time to harvest it. No, it takes time to learn stuff like that. So when we have these shortcomings, we can't beat ourselves up over them. But we need to encourage people as they grow. We need to encourage people as they're trying to figure out how they're the most useful in the kingdom. Encourage people to keep working at different things that maybe they haven't tried before. Ways that they can be useful to the church and things that they haven't done before. So, this morning, if you've not joined the kingdom, if you've not allowed the Word of God to be planted in you and to start to grow in you. I ask that you do that now, or maybe